Good morning and welcome to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori on this Saturday morning. Glad you can join me where I am every Saturday morning right here on WLIW 88.3 FM Southampton, serving Eastern Long Island and Southern Connecticut, 96.9 in Western Suffolk, and streaming at WLIW.org/radio and on your favorite streaming platforms. And each show is archived on my website at AnnLiguori.com and distributed on my podcast via Audio Boom and iTunes. Well, those of you who are regular listeners to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori know that I love to travel and explore different parts of the world by playing in their golf courses, meeting their people, and experiencing their culture. And I've golfed throughout Ireland, Scotland, Wales, South Africa, Italy, France, and most parts of the United States. And most recently, I was invited to visit a real estate property in Western North Carolina, tucked way up in the Blue Ridge Mountains. It's called Balsam Mountain Preserve. And the windy road just getting up to this property is incredible. It's amongst the 4,400-acre preserve, and it led us to an enclave of homes and cottages near the Golf Pro Shop and the Summit House Restaurant and Mine Tavern, and cottages and homes that are being built in this enclave. And the views just from this vantage point are unforgettable. They have an Arnold Palmer signature golf course. And I have to say, it is one of the most adventurous, thrilling rounds of golf I've ever played. The highest point on this course is just under 4,000 feet above sea level. And so the holes range from severe downhill par threes to uphill par fives that meander through the gorgeous mountain terrain. And our October visit ensured that the foliage was as vibrant and spectacular as ever. We stayed in the Clemens Cottage, named after Major League star pitcher Roger Clemens, and Bobby Orr, the hockey legend, owns one of the homes in the enclave. Most of the residences, and there are plans for 354 homes to be created within the community, are so private that it's really difficult to see the houses. All have stunning mountain views, and all the residences adhere to the International Dark Sky Association guidelines for outdoor lighting, which fosters privacy and stargazing. And in addition to the golf, they have an equestrian center, and they board horses for homeowners and offer lessons and other services, and it's just beautiful, beautiful equestrian center. They have a fitness center. There are rooms for spa treatments. They have a heated pool, tennis courts. They're building pickleball courts. They also have a nature center, a private campsite, 40 miles of Class A trout streams, and 40 miles of hiking and equestrian trails. There is something for everyone. Well, this morning, I will talk to people who represent the property. Sean McLaughlin, the director of sales, will join us to give us an overall picture. Travis Wilson, the head golf professional, describes what golfers can expect when they play the Arnold Palmer signature course. And Lila Kilby, the equestrian director, she talks about the services Balsam Mountain Preserve provide to residents and their guests on all things equestrian. Hope you enjoy this morning's Sports Interview with Ann Liguori. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori, and I am at this incredible property called Balsam Mountain Preserve in Western North Carolina, and Sean McLaughlin, the director of sales, is with me. And Sean, this is extraordinary. Explain exactly where we are.
Well, like you mentioned, we're in Western North Carolina in the Blue Ridge Mountains, right next to the Smoky Mountain National Park. One of the most stunning properties anywhere in the country. Balsam is a preserve with 4,400 acres, and 3,400 of it is preserved forever. And that's really what makes it such a beautiful spot. As you know, you've been here for the last couple days, and the topography and the views and the colors and everything just make it an amazing place to be.
And you would fly into Asheville, correct? How do people get here?
Yeah, we're actually 40 minutes from Asheville Airport. which is a growing airport. It's one of the fastest growing airports in the country. And like I said, we're a quick 40-minute all highway. You know, a lot of times you're in the mountains and you're going through lots of challenging roads and things. We're fortunate. We've got a highway that goes right to our front door. And then when you get here, you get a chance to enjoy all the mountain splendor.
It is in the mountains, ladies and gentlemen, the Blue Ridge Mountains. And we happen to be here in October, and the autumn foliage is just spectacular. What's it like here in the summer, spring and summer? It must be equally gorgeous with flowers and everything else.
Yeah, honestly, that's when most people are here. You know, a lot of our families come from hot places. They're from Florida or Texas or Charleston, and they're trying to figure out how they can get away from the heat. They come up here, and they might be 15 degrees cooler, 20 degrees cooler. So the summers are phenomenal. But to your point, a lot of people talk about the fall. The fall's incredible, but the spring is equally incredible. The colors on, you know, there's about 10 different shades of green that slowly go up this mountain for about a month, and then all the flowers come out, the pinks and the reds, and it's just a spectacular place year-round. Even winter, you know, a lot of people think, you know, I'm only going there in the summer, but they find that all four seasons are really moderate. People that want four seasons determine that they want to come here and live in a place where they can have a little bit of cool weather, and certainly you get that throughout the year as well.
So there's an Arnold Palmer golf course here that we played today. Just spectacular. Mountain golf, just gorgeous. Very challenging, a lot of obviously elevation, a lot of fun shots, and just spectacular scenery. There's a spa. There is an equestrian center, fitness center, swimming pool. Talk about everything that's here, Sean.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously the Arnold Palmer golf course is the standout. You know, a lot of people have not heard of Balsam Mountain Preserve. When they get here, they say it's one of the prettiest courses they've ever seen in their life. And these are people that have traveled all over the world and played lots of different courses. To your point, it's a mountain course. You know, it's challenging. We tell people bring a few extra balls the first couple times you play. But it's just absolutely stunning. And we think fair. You know, it's a great course to play. We're not just golf, though. You know, golf is a big part of our mountain. But we have a lot of families that come here because they love to fly fish, or they love the scenery, the elevation where they get the cooler summers like we talked about before. We've got an equestrian center. There aren't many communities that have that and golf and pool and tennis and all those things. But what makes it so unique is there's 40 miles of hiking and biking and equestrian trails right on this property. So the combination of kind of all those amenities, and then to your point, we've got a spa and a gym, fantastic amenities throughout the whole community. One thing that I think really stands out is people always talk about, you know, the amenities that exist. What we love is the people that are here really make this place. You know, they're so down to earth, they're so friendly. They want to welcome the new families that are coming in. And sometimes you just don't see that in a country club. You know, sometimes a country club is a little clicky, and, you know, we're just kind of the opposite of that.
Yeah, everybody's so friendly here. I mean, a woman went out of her way to show me where the ladies' room was when I was on the 10th hole. She came down in a golf cart with her two dogs, and everybody just, hello, how are you? Very, very friendly. We were in the spa earlier and then in the fitness center working out. And what a view from that fitness center. I mean, and that's not a bad view when you're trying to run a couple of miles and looking out through the window.
And no doubt. I mean, there's views everywhere here. You know, sometimes people call me from a distance and they say, you know, we want a property with mountain views, or we're going to be able to find that. And I say every property here has incredible mountain views. It's a very unique, very private piece of the Smoky Mountain National Park. And it's a place we love for sure.
So talk about the elevation here. Like right now we're at one of the two restaurants up here near the golf facility, right? How high are we?
So we're 3,500 feet of elevation. Our mountain goes from 2,800 feet at the base up to 4,700 feet. And so, again, we talked about people wanting to get out of the hot summers and various locations. Generally, they're looking for 3,000 feet or above, and every home here is above 3,000 feet. What's also awesome about that is generally above 3,000 feet, you don't have a lot of mosquitoes. You don't have a lot of bugs. The things you may not think about when you're hiking around the woods and playing golf and things, you know, they're just huge benefits of elevation. The humidity is a little bit lower. So from our gate to the top of our mountain could be 10 degrees cooler some days.
And so there's an equestrian center here. We went down. We're going to take a little ride tomorrow. Lots of trails, beautiful horses, and some excellent equestrian riders who keep their horses here, correct?
Absolutely. We have some professional folks that have won championships all over the world. And then we have folks that have ridden since they were little boys and girls, and they're so excited to be able to get back. And, you know, maybe golf's not their thing. Maybe hiking's not their thing. So there's something for everybody here. But certainly what, with respect to the equestrian center, one of the things that makes it so unique is that the trails literally border the equestrian center itself. So you don't have to put your horses on a trailer, take them off somewhere off property and go horseback riding, then come back to dinner or golf or whatever it is you like to do. You literally can ride or walk. And in fact, I ran into a family the other day that was riding down on their e-bikes to the equestrian center, jumped on their horse, rode for 2 hours, and then got back on their e-bikes, went up the mountain and grabbed lunch. And you just can't do that very many places.
I love that. Yeah, there's something for everybody here, as you say. Talk about the Nature Center, Sean.
Absolutely. The Nature Center is one of the most uniquely different aspects of Balsam. We've got three naturalists that are here all the time. What I love about it is they're actually funded by our members. So it's a not-for-profit trust. They're completely funded by members who love nature and love everything about, you know, protecting and conserving nature. But the Nature Center is a place where we have animals that have been hurt in the wild that can no longer be out in the wild. We call them ambassador animals. And we take them to the local schools often, and we do all kinds of classes for fourth and fifth graders in basically impoverished schools. There's a lot of poverty in the area, and frankly, they don't have the resources to be able to have classes where they can talk about nature and see live animals and things like that. So we just love that that's another component of Balsam Mountain Preserve. And everybody on the mountain participates in that in some way or another. You know, the biggest party on the mountain is always the trust party, where we get together. We raise several hundred thousand dollars every year. And it's not only a fun time, but it also helps to be able to fund those classes and things that we're talking about for the community.
That's wonderful to hear. Now, real estate. It's very difficult to see the homes from where, you know, even from the golf course. We'll see a home there and a home there. But talk about the variety of properties you have here and what you have to offer.
Yeah, I think that's, again, you know, we talk about the uniqueness and the differences. There's a lot of beautiful communities in Western North Carolina. There's some really nice golf communities. There's nothing that has kind of the privacy and the seclusion that we offer, because again, we talked about the 3,400 acres of conservation. Most of the properties here are weaved into that conservation land. So we have families with 2 acres that might as well have 10,000 acres. You know, you can't see another home for miles. We have one family where they literally don't have another family for a half a mile. Their roof opens up and their telescope comes out, and they didn't want any light pollution. So they literally found, where can I find a property here that has nothing around it? And frankly, that's not actually that hard to do. But we also have a beautiful village, which is close to the tavern and the restaurant. And some people, that's the way they want to live in the mountains. They want to have neighbors and they want to share milk and sugar with their next door neighbor if they need to. So there's a variety of different things. You know, our home sites are private and secluded with gorgeous views, but you also have, you know, beautiful homes that we build. You know, we build a lot of spec homes here, so we've got opportunities where people don't have to go through the process. They can just enjoy their life and choose the tile color, the paint colors and tiles and things that they want, and just have a home however they want it.
Bobby Orr is here. I've heard the hockey great. Roger Clemens comes to visit. Dennis Quaid. I mean, people, if you want privacy and you want beauty, this would be the place. Because people, you know, kind of basically are friendly, but they leave you alone, right?
Absolutely. You know, we have quite a few professional athletes. Carson Wentz has a property here as well. But the ones you mentioned, you know, they come here and they love the fact that, you know, people will connect with them, but they're really just here to enjoy time with their neighbors and them. you know, Bobby's probably the friendliest person. You know, I thought all these other folks were so incredibly friendly, but he fits in so well because he's just so friendly to everybody here. And so he gets really involved. But then there's also times when they just want to be on their own and enjoy, and they can do that here. You know, there's so much land to, you know, get away and enjoy, and different amenities that you can really, you know, have as private a time as you want, and but also be very social if that's your forte.
You were mentioning Bobby Orr was just so generous. He sent generators and some other things to help, you know, people in Asheville in need, right?
Absolutely. You know, everyone knows that Asheville was hit pretty hard with Helene, the storm that came through here in a couple weeks ago. And, you know, I get a random call from Bobby Orr, and he's like, what can I do to help? You know, just whatever it is, let me know. Of course, he's very connected. He gets on the phone with the CEO of Hagar Clothing, and all of a sudden we've got boxes and boxes of clothing that they, you know, collectively donated, which was fantastic. Then I get a call from him a couple of days later. You know, I know people probably need generators. It's getting colder, and people don't have power. And so it's amazing that Bobby is like that, but it's so amazing that he fits in so perfectly with our community, because we have a group called BMP United, and they came together literally right after the storm and said, what can we do to help? And so we get boxes of diapers, you know, all kinds of water bottles. I mean, everything you can possibly need, and our owners are actively going out in the community and volunteering as much as they can, and really being a part of the greater Western North Carolina community to heal after the storm. It's been awesome to see the humanity in that manner.
It really has. I mean, there's, you know, as you say, they're so connected. It's just a matter of a phone call, right? And then all of a sudden, all these donations come in, and it's fabulous. Where can people, tell me about some of the organizations that people who are listening might be able to go to donate for the areas that were hit by Helene.
Yeah, for sure. There's an organization we're working with that's called ABCCM. There's a Biltmore Church, which is a large church in the area. They're doing a whole lot of things. There's Manna Food Bank, which is a big organization that's been around here for many, many years. And they're all collectively, you know, coming together. There's so many organizations. I mean, we could talk about all the different churches and all the different not-for-profits, and they're all coming here. And it's amazing to watch, you know, over the last couple weeks, you're driving down the street and you just see trucks and trucks and trucks, you know, all lined up coming into town. And you can see them with trailers and with all kinds of utility or equipment. And just, like I said, water bottles and diapers and all the things that people need. And it's just amazing to see it, for sure.
And it's only, what, 45 minutes away, Asheville, from Balsam Mountain Preserve, right? So it's not that far.
Yeah, I mean, we're literally 40 minutes from the airport, 45 minutes from the Biltmore Estate, which, you know, the Biltmore Village area was hit pretty hard. The amazing part, and a lot of people realize this with different storms, is, you know, Balsam really wasn't touched. And you almost feel guilty in some level because you see all this devastation and you realize that, you know, our golf course was fine, or our community is fine. But as soon as people in the community realized how bad it was in other areas, they got to work right away to see how they could help.
Sure. Talk a little bit. Now, we're going to have Travis Wilson, the head golf pro, on the show as well. But I love the story about the design of this Arnold Palmer golf course, this mountain course with elevation as high as over 4,000 feet on some of the holes. But it wasn't everybody who thought that they could design on this terrain, right? This elevated terrain.
Yeah, no doubt. The story goes, and I'll be honest, I wasn't around when all this happened, but the story goes that they had talked to Tom Fazio, and, you know, we have a beautiful mountain here, but it's a mountain. You know, there's a lot of elevation change. There's a lot of dirt to move to build a golf course. And, you know, my understanding was the response was kind of like, yeah, you probably shouldn't build there. You should probably buy some land in the valley and maybe just build this golf course there, which you see a lot of, you know, in the mountains. What is so unique about Balsam's golf course is most of the time they are in the valley because that's where it probably logically makes sense. But fortunately, you know, we ran into Arnold Palmer and he came out and he just said, you know what, there's a masterpiece to be had here. And, you know, I think we need to build up on the ridges. We need to have, you know, lots of elevation change on the holes, and you know, we need to take advantage of all these incredible views. You know, to your point, where you know some of the holes are 3,500 feet, some of those are 4,100 feet. So there's a lot of elevation change within the mountain itself, and that is just what makes it so spectacular. It didn't exactly stay on budget, from what I understand, but you know, the end result is just absolutely phenomenal.
It is spectacular. I was taking so many pictures and trying to focus on my golf game, but the elevation and, you know, it's challenging, but it's a lot of fun. And you can pick, there's a variety of tee boxes that you can, you know, you can choose to pick the distance. But apparently the slope for the blue tees is like around, what, 145, 148? So, and it is very, very challenging. We'll talk to Travis Wilson about that a little bit more. But we really enjoyed playing it. So what else should we know about it? Well, there's two cities nearby that are very historical and interesting. They're, you know, it seems like a very culinary area as well. And I've not eaten a bad meal anywhere around here. The food is very good. So talk a little bit about what's around here if you want to get off the mountain a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Asheville's the brand. You know, that's the one that everyone knows. It's the one that makes all the magazines and things. But it's amazing. We've got these two quaint towns called Waynesville and Sylva, and we're really smack dab right in the middle of both of them. And they are so charming. You know, they're several blocks long. They've got some fantastic restaurants. To your point about the food, you know, this whole region is about being farm to table and making sure that they have fresh ingredients and great food. And you know, Asheville's kind of been a foodie city for a long time. It's amazing to see how it ranks with the, I've seen lists where, you know, it's like the top 10 foodie cities in the country, and you'll have New York, and you'll have San Francisco, and you'll have Chicago, and then all of a sudden Asheville will be on that list. And you kind of scratch your head and just say, how's that possible? You know, this tiny little town. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think the surrounding areas kind of take their lead from Asheville being so farm to table, and there's so many local places here where you can get fresh trout and you can get, you know, fresh beef and things that are grown locally, and that's a big part of the food scene here. But you know, it's fantastic to have two towns where you can get to, you know, the grocery stores, nice grocery stores, you can get to shops, you can grab, you know, a nice sweater or jeans or things like that, and then you can come back to the mountain and just kind of relax and chill. And the best part is that to get to those towns, you're not fighting traffic. You know, you're all on highway, and it's just an easy way to live. You know, we're a little bit more rural than some places, and our owners tend to find that that's exactly what they're looking for.
Absolutely. It's very, very convenient. So you've been everywhere, Sean, when we talked about your background. How does this property compare? Just tell my audience, if you would, a little bit about where you've been and whom you've worked for and how this property compares to all the other ones that you've have a lot of great experience in sales.
Yeah, you know, I've been very fortunate to have a chance to work in New Hampshire at a ski resort. I've worked in upstate New York. I had an opportunity to go to Fiji for a while. I was actually in Western North Carolina before then. I'm working on previously it was a Tiger Woods project, and unfortunately the, you know, 2008 didn't allow that to happen. But in the end of the day, you know, I went from here to Fiji thinking I would be there for a few months, and ended up marrying an Australian, moved to Sydney, Australia for a while. I was working on an Oberish project in Fiji, which was fantastic. Both my wife and I had an opportunity to come to Belize and work with Four Seasons on a project, which was a Greg Norman golf course. And COVID hit, and so we're sitting here in Western North Carolina saying, we're in one of the prettiest parts of the country. We don't want to leave. You know, we've bounced around and done these things and had these amazing experiences, but how can we stay here and still be in the industry that we're in and have luxury homes to sell? And so we were fortunate enough that ran into a friend, and he had said, you know, you've got to go see what Balsam's done. You know, Balsam, like everyone else, has had, you know, its history from years past, but from the time I left and went overseas and came back, Balsam had totally transformed. You know, we built a new clubhouse, we upgraded our wellness center, we built onto our equestrian center. It's night and day different from what I remember, you know, when I previously lived here. So we were very fortunate. We got up here and started working here and just absolutely fell in love with it. It's one of the most unique pieces of property that you could imagine. with some of the best people. And then 2 years ago, we got kind of the best treat, and David Southworth came in and bought the development. And we went from a place that had some history, like everywhere else, but didn't really have the development background to move it forward. When David got here, it's like night and day, seeing all kinds of homes being built and the energy that's infused in the community. And it's just been a phenomenal run for sure.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, for describing the beauty and some of the details about this incredible property, Balsam Mountain Preserve. Sean McLaughlin, Director of Sales, thanks so much for being on Sports Interview. It's a pleasure to meet you and to hear about your incredible background and to really experience this property. It's just amazing.
Absolutely. It's been fantastic having you here. And of course, you're welcome back anytime. We love your feedback, and we love that you get a chance to see our special piece of paradise.
It's paradise indeed. Thanks so much. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori. We are at Balsam Mountain Preserve in Western North Carolina, and there's an Arnold Palmer golf course, and Travis Wilson, the head golf professional, is going to tell us all about it. Welcome to Sports Interview.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, great golf course. Been around since 2003 is when we started construction on the golf course. Building up here in the mountains tends to take a little longer. We didn't open it until May 7, 2007, but they surely did create a gem.
It's really a gem, and every hole seems like the signature hole. It's just so scenic. It's a great time of year to be here in the fall. The autumn foliage is just spectacular. But if I were to pick a signature hole, Travis, I don't know which one it would be because they're all so wonderful.
That's great. I mean, it's a great time of year now, but honestly, it doesn't matter what time of year you're here, whether it's middle of winter, middle of summer, or fall. It always looks great up here. We do have 18 signature golf holes out here. The one everyone comes to us and says, hey, I saw this on the website, or my friend showed me pictures of this. It's hole number 14. It's a par 5. It's an infinity tee shot where when you get up on that peak in the fairway, you've got 300-degree views. It's something incredible, and I don't know that I've seen it in golf before.
And that's the highest point on the golf course, correct?
That is correct. That's just under 4,000 feet up there on that fairway.
So we're down in the at the pro shop, the restaurants, this enclave here, and we're about what, on just under 3,500 feet here?
That's correct. We're at 35 right here.
And number one hole starts at what elevation?
So that's about 70, 80 feet above us here, just up on the hill. So you're probably at 36 and change up there.
And then by the time you get to 14, you're up to 4,000. Now, there are a lot of par threes where they're downhill. And so that elevation is tricky from the tee. You have to really know what club to go back on.
That's correct. There's really only one flat spot out here, and that's the driving range. After that, it's elevation everywhere. Now, some of the holes you might not have that much of a significant elevation drop, but definitely the par threes you will. When you get to the third hole, you're looking at 70, 80 feet of elevation between that back tee box and the green.
And that number 8 hole, the par 4, I'm so excited because I actually parred it yesterday. And talk about that elevation. Talk about that hole because, it's quite downhill from those elevated tees, but you have to be so precise where you land that tee shot.
So that's one of the more challenging holes out here because if you don't know exactly how far you need to hit your tee ball, it's not necessarily, well, I'm going to hit my driver and it's this. You really want to hit it depending on your tee ball. Either 220 yards, 200 yards, or 180 yards. And you got to be very specific and precise with that tee shot because the fairway has three tiers as well. So not only do you have to hit the yardage right, but you have to hit the right tier in the fairway. Otherwise, that hole plays even more difficult.
And then say you hit a great tee shot, then your approach shot has to go over a ravine to a fairly small green, right? So you have to be so precise with which club you use. And you got to clear that ravine, but you can't go long or else you're in trouble as well.
That's right. It's a very difficult approach. Most, like I just mentioned, the only flat spot is the range. That fairway has a lot of undulation, so you've got a side hill, downhill approach, and you might only have 130 or 140 yards into that green, but it is a very difficult shot. You've got a very small target, and if you hit it too far, you're in a back bunker, and if you don't catch it quite right, you're in that ravine.
Yeah, that's a tough hole. We were playing it yesterday, and the guys in front of us had to go back and tee it up again, and then they let us go through, and I was able to par, and they were very impressed, let me tell you, because they were having some trouble with that hole for sure. So there are three par fives on this course, one par five on the front, two par fives on the back. You mentioned the 14th. Tell me about the other par fives. That four par five, that is a stunning par five.
It is. That's probably, 12 is probably my favorite par five, but four I think I score routinely better on. It's a very difficult drive because that fairway, it looks like a horseshoe. You've got woods to the left, creek and ravine on that right side, but that fairway is 50, 60 yards wide, and if you get a really good drive, you can give the green a run.
Now, from the tips, this plays 6,784, but again, there's a lot of downhill elevation holes, so, you really have to know what you're doing when you club yourself. And the greens, I thought, were very, very tricky. Is there any trick to reading these greens, according to, where the mountain peaks are and where the valleys are?
Definitely. So on the front nine, there's the highest point on the front nine is Sugarloaf Mountain, so you want to know where Sugarloaf is, so it's going to have a small impact on how that putt's going to break. And when you get to the back nine, Double Top is the main mountain around here. The highest peak is Double Top, and that's certainly going to affect everything on the back nine. What I tell people is when you're out there, and specifically on the back nine, so just look behind you, right? Because when you're playing, you essentially play up into Double Top. So in that first three or four holes, if you're on the putting green, just look behind you. If you see Double Top, it's going away from you. If you're looking at Double Top, you're going up that hill. Even though the green itself might be canted or banked in a different direction, Double Top's going to affect it.
Now, Travis, I should have asked you this before we played, but because a lot of the fairways are sloped, any pointers for, hitting on a downward slope and an upward slope? I'm sure you teach that a lot here, right? Because that you have to really know how to hit on those slopes.
So that's the number one lesson I give out here. It's not much. Anybody can hit it off. Most of us can hit it well off a flat surface. But when you get out in a fairway and it's uphill, downhill, side hill, that's a different thing. So what I always work on with our members is make a couple of practice swings. And typically in golf, you want to drive through, right, get everything over to the left side. Well, that's not really the case when you're on a side hill, uphill. You want to swing more balanced. And sometimes that means keeping your feet and your lower body as steady as they can be. And you want to see where that club head is impacting the ground. On uphill, I can promise you it's probably in the middle of your stance or slightly back. Most players, especially on number 12, is a great example. They'll take that 3 foot out and they'll put it in front of their stance and they'll top it every time. It happened last week in a playing lesson. I said, now here, watch me do it. And I put it right in the middle to slightly back in my stance and I was pin high. So that's something that most players don't really think about. Where does my club bottom out at? And that's what you look at. That's where you want to make sure your ball position is, and then play golf from there.
Right. You would think with a 3-wood, you'd move it up toward your left foot, but that's not the case on a slope. You have to see where it tops out.
Where's the club bottoming out? Where is that club bottoming out in your swing when you're swinging balanced? Right? Because if you're going a severe uphill lie, you're not going to have all that leg drive in it because it's going to throw you off balance. Right. So you just focus on that stable lower body position and then swing around it.
Those are good tips. Now, I understand when the course was first a concept, they went to another designer, and that designer said, no, we can't build here. Are you kidding me? Go and buy some land in the valley, and we'll do a course there.
That's right. The original designer specifically asked for Fazio, the Fazio Design Group, to come in and build them a golf course up here in the mountains. And when the design team met with the developers said, this is exactly what we want. Fazio said, that's not something that we can do here.
Wow. And so the Arnold Palmer team, what was the big difference? They came here and just had a different vision? Or what do you think made them decide, yeah, we can do this?
I think they just wanted the challenge. I think they wanted a challenge of creating an incredible golf course up on the ridges. Now, when you do those, certainly you're going to have higher costs. It's pretty difficult to move a lot of dirt and a lot of trees and all that. And I just think back then the Fazio group just wasn't quite interested in that project.
Right. And I know it ended up being, three times more, basically, to move, the dirt up here. But when you think of Arnold Palmer Design, we play a course in the desert in California, Tradition, and there's a lot of elevation there. And there was one or two holes here that reminded me, there's a lot more elevation here, of course, but there are one or two holes that reminded me of two holes, at the Tradition. So maybe they like that challenge of being able to, put
land in shape what it with what it brings you. I've went to school at Florida Gulf Coast University in Naples area, and there's a great golf course there called Wildcat Run, and it's an Arnold Palmer design, and it has the traditional rights to lefts, and it's a beautiful golf course. But you can see where he shaped it kind of around the swamp there. And then we just got back from Ireland, and we played Tralee, so you can see what he took what the land gave him and made, you know, an incredible golf course. He did the same thing here.
Yeah, I love Tralee, and that's right. That is an Arnold Palmer design. We did a TV show there years ago. Particularly that back nine is absolutely incredible. But when you look at the routing of this golf course, it's brilliant, I think. I mean, to have done what they did with this terrain, this elevation, and as I said before, every hole seems to be a signature hole, it is just stunning.
It is, and I think that's why, you know, the first design team kind of walked away from it, because they had the vision. We wanted to route it a very specific way. We wanted playing up on the ridge tops, and that was involved a lot of earthworks that went from X to a 3X. And when we got done with the project, but they ended up with an incredible piece of property.
So tell me about some of the personalities who come. I know Bobby Orr has a house here. I'm sure he's a very good player. I know Roger Clemens comes here. I know he's a good golfer because he plays in a lot of similar tournaments that I get, you know, the opportunity to play in. So they must just love this.
They do love it. The members here are very passionate about the golf course. Some are 3, 4, 5 day a week players. I remember when I first came here, and the very first time I played it, it was so difficult for me. I lost more golf balls than I'll admit right now. And I remember thinking, this would be tough to play every day. But the more you play it, the more you fall in love with it, and you realize I can easily play this golf course every day. And that's what we get with a lot of our members.
And that to end with a par three is unusual.
It is unusual, but Royal St. George's, what is part of the British Open rotation, finishes on a par three. In original plans, they actually wanted to switch up 16 to be a par 3, 17 would be a par 4, and then you'd finish on a par 5. But when they got the routing down to 16, they just couldn't make that work as a par 3. So then they had to go back and say, okay, well, what can we do to finish this golf course and still make it great? And that's what they decided to do, finish that par 3. And it is a great, very challenging par 3.
Oh, it certainly is. And 10 is a challenging par 3 as well. What's the low score here? What's the course record?
Course record is 63. It was shot in 2014 during a mini tour event. We actually have one of our members who's shot 64 probably a handful of times, bogeyed 18 multiple times doing that, and a great player. So I see that going down sooner or later. Yeah.
Wow, 63. So you really have to know the greens. You really have to know, you know, where to, you know, you got to keep up. You got to keep it out of the rough for sure. And obviously that player knew exactly where to hit the ball, and he did a pretty good job.
That's right. And the hard part here is just getting it and play off the tee. Most players, when you're on that tee box, you're visually intimidated with what you're looking at, because most players haven't been up on top of a mountain playing before, and you're like, well, the world is in front of me. But that fairway is 50 to 60 yards wide. And better players can just focus in on their game and just make a really comfortable and confident swing, and that's what Brett Harris, our member, that's the club champion here, that's shot 64 multiple times. That's just what he does. He focuses on his part of the tree that he's looking at, and then he makes his swing, puts it in play, and keeps on going.
Right. A 60-yard landing area is pretty generous, but from the, you know, the tee boxes, you don't necessarily see that, right?
Because you're looking out at the expanse in front of you. It's hard taking in 270-plus degree views and narrowing it down to 50 yards. Okay, that's where I've got to hit my tee ball.
And, you know, before you even get out to the first hole, you have a really expansive, you know, practice facility. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's a great practice facility. It actually functions as a hitting tee and a short course. So we keep it open as a hitting tee during the day, and then about 5 o'clock we'll clean pick it, and there's actually 6 tee boxes and 6 flags, and you can play that as a short course. You can play 6 holes anywhere from 20 to 40 yards sequentially, or you can just play it however you want and play a 193-yard par 3, whatever you chose to do that day.
Right. A little bit about your background. You've been around. I mean, you've been to a variety of different areas here as a golf pro.
Yeah, so I didn't really play golf growing up. I was out of high school. I went and joined the United States Marine Corps in the infantry, and a couple months left in, and a buddy of mine said, hey, let's go play golf. And I said, okay, that sounds fun. And we had a great time, and I got out of the Marines, and I go home, and a private club down the road is hiring, so I went and got a job And that's been 27 years ago. And so from there, I went to Florida Gulf Coast and got a degree in professional golf management, worked at some great clubs down in the Naples market. I made my way up to South Carolina first at Thornblade, spent a few years with the Cliffs, and been fortunate enough to be here at Balsam Mount Preserve for 8.5 years.
What's your low round here?
71. Huh? Yeah, 71.
I like it. Not bad.
Not bad. Three very active kids and three different activities take away my playing time. But I'm very happy. I can still get out there and I play with the members and I keep it in the 70s.
Well, what a great office you have, right?
Doesn't beat it. I was out with a member in that playing lesson I spoke about earlier, and we were on the 10th tee box, and he says, you know, you got a pretty good gig. I said, I love this place. I love coming in every day. Yeah.
Thanks so much, Travis Wilson, head golf professional right here at Balsam Mountain Preserve. Thanks so much for having us, and well, next time we'll know this course a little better, lose a few less balls, hopefully.
Thank you so much. I'm glad you had a good time.
Thanks again. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori. And, you know, we've been visiting Balsam Mountain Preserve in Western North Carolina and talked a lot about the Arnold Palmer golf design, but they have an incredible equestrian center. And joining me now to talk about it is Lila Kilby, the equestrian director. She's been here for 7 years. And for anybody into horses, equestrian, and riding, this has to be a dream job, Lila. I mean, this is insane.
Yeah, it definitely is. When I was a kid growing up, I even said I wanted to live in the mountains and take care of horses. And I thought maybe as I kind of grew up, maybe I'd go to vet school. And I realized places like this existed. And it has been such a great fit from day one.
See that? Dreams do come true. If you can say it out loud and visualize it, it really does happen. And it's happening for you, Lila. And there are, 40 miles of trails here? I mean, just tell us about, you know, this facility and what it has to offer, whether you're a homeowner here or a visitor like us. What does the Equestrian Center have to offer?
So we're really lucky that this mountain lends itself so well to kind of all day, full out trail riding. It used to be like a paper and timber company owned the mountain. So it's lots and lots of logging roads, big stretches of ridgeline trails, and then ones that like wind along the creek as well. So there's just a huge variety of trails. Our official trail count is 40 miles. However, given our perimeter logging roads, the fact that we can ride onto the national forest from here, we have yet to actually max out all of the riding options here at Balsam. So it's really fun.
It's a nature preserve. There's a nature center here. I'm sure the trails are just incredible.
Yeah, they're great. It's like having a private, national forest in our own backyard. We are super lucky. We don't have to share our trails too much except for with our neighbors. So it really does kind of feel like you're just riding in your own 4,000-acre backyard.
So tell me about how many horses are here.
So we have an 18-stall barn. Three of those are club horses, and the other 15 are owned by people who live here at Balsam. They're members. Some of our horses come and go seasonally, but most of them stay here year-round, even if their owners don't.
Isn't that interesting? So they can buy property here, they'll buy a home here, and then they have their own stable right here and trails. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that if you're an equestrian person, right?
Yeah, it definitely is. It is kind of the creme de la creme for people to be able to come and live this really great, laid-back lifestyle that's so nature-centric. It's all about just this gorgeous mountain that we're on, and we have then the ability to just get your horse out and enjoy it at the same time is so special.
And you say that so you can board the horses here, even if the owners aren't here 12 months out of the year, you take care of their horses.
Yeah, absolutely. So we kind of pride ourselves on being pretty turnkey in terms of if you're in town or not, your horse is going to have the best of the best. He's going to be happy, healthy, fit, well cared for, and just the ability to not have to worry about what your horse is getting up to while you're away is really invaluable for a lot of our boarders.
And you give riding lessons too.
Yeah, I do. We really welcome people from like any level of riding here. We have some people here that have been riding since they were three, which puts them at several decades, but I'm not trying to age anyone. And then we have people that have ridden a horse for the very first time or are first time horse owners even. And just, you know, we love letting people come in and getting to experience such a unique kind of aspect of life here.
What is the biggest, I'm sure you've dealt with so many people who come and, you know, beginners, intermediate, advanced, equestrian people. What's the biggest mistake most beginner riders make, would you say?
Yeah, that's a great question. I tell everyone, the biggest thing for me, a lot of people have heard the saying of don't let your horse sense that you're afraid. And everyone I think that has ever talked to me has said that. And I like to tell them, like, that is true, but it is because you being afraid makes your horse afraid. It doesn't make them go, oh, ha ha, like, I'm going to, you know, beat her because she's afraid now. They go, oh my gosh, what does she know that I don't that makes me so nervous? Because they are prey animals. So it's really common to want to treat them like a dog because they are domesticated, but they're prey animals, not predators. So they just need like that reassurance. So if you're calm, you've got your balance, you're feeling good, your horse is going to be fine.
I love that. You're kind of a horse whisperer. You're getting to the psychology of the horse, right?
It's actually such a huge part. Everyone jokes that I should have been like a therapist, and I joke that I am to 15 animals every single day. But you do really, riding horses, being around them, even on the ground, you absolutely kind of tap into that, you know, emotional EQ side of life. And it makes you sensitive. It makes you aware of others, whether those are people or animals. And so it's just, it really lends to like a lot of personal growth too.
It really does. I love that. And the horses are very intelligent animals, right? If you can talk a little bit about that and what you pick up being in the business as long as you've been in, you know, from these beautiful, beautiful animals.
Yeah, they really are. They're so special. I mean, I really do feel that, obviously, as I've dedicated my life to being around them. I just think it's really a unique relationship. You know, we domesticated dogs to be our friends, but we domesticated horses to be our partners. And so we really do have to trust each other. You know, I will load up my horses and take them off into the woods where there could be anything out there. And I have to trust them. They have to trust me. And just the intelligence emotionally and mentally to, you know, maybe get through a downed tree in the woods or not freak out because we saw a bear, which hasn't happened often. but all that kind of stuff of just, you know, and they are, they're smart, they're clever, they learn their job, and then they enjoy it. So they're really fun to be around.
So have you ever come across a bear on a horse?
I have been here 7 years and I have not. We kind of purposefully don't ride at twilight because that is when the wildlife moves around the most. But also the bears here, they're black bears. They're very skittish. We do a really good job of making sure that they aren't comfortable with humans. We do not, where everyone's very like religious about getting their trash put away, you know, no bear baiting. We don't want them comfortable with us. So basically, as long as they can hear us coming, they clear out long before we ever see them, which is nice.
Would a horse be afraid of a bear per se, or what? How would they react?
So I do not think so. I think the only problem you would have would be if there was like kind of startling around a corner and, oh my gosh, it's right there. I have seen actually bears in my pastures walking next to my horses and they are fine. If I lived in grizzly country, I would maybe be a little more worried about it. But between a couple of my horses and some bears, I'm actually putting money on the horses.
I love it. So tell me what your normal day is like here at the Equestrian Center at Balsam Mountain Preserve.
Yeah, well, again, it's my dream day. So I wake up, I live in an apartment right above the barn. So I just walk right downstairs and I'm there, which is amazing. So I, you know, we wake up, we get our morning feeding done. We try to be done with that around 10 o'clock, which is when pretty much everyone shows up and starts riding for the day. We'll have boarders come in. I might guide a trail ride. I might teach a pony lesson, or maybe the vet or the farrier. The farrier was here this morning, and so we'll work on some horses with that. And then we kind of get into the evening feeding as well, and then I'll do a little night check on them, you know, around 10 or 11 o'clock at night, and just kind of all day just living with the horses.
I love it. So you live right here. Well, the owners of some of these horses must love that because they know that the horses are always under good care 24/7.
Yeah, it's definitely a big aspect. Most barns are tend to have some kind of living quarters around, but it's definitely a great bonus to know that there's someone there all the time. I definitely have come downstairs to check on bumps in the nights, and a lot of times we're just scratching our bum on some water buckets, but sometimes there's a little something going on I need to help out with. So it's good to have someone here.
And you have a couple horses or one horse here as well?
I do not. So I grew up, I had a personal horse. I sold him when I had to go off to college. But I joke that I have the best of both worlds, which means I have 15 horses and not a single vet bill to pay. So it's the dream.
They're all your own horses. It's like, having all these children. Which one's your favorite? So we're here in October. The autumn foliage is absolutely spectacular. What about the rest of the seasons here? What's your favorite season and why?
So I will say, I think autumn is probably an 11 out of 10, and everything else is about a 10 out of 10. It really is beautiful here year round. Even in the winter, when the leaves drop, it means you can see miles up the creek beds. It means you can see ridges and peaks that you can't see in the summer with all that dense foliage. In spring, when everything's like waking up and gorgeous and light green and, re-emerging, it's stunning. And then our summers are so nice and mild. I joke that I'm hot at 75 degrees. So for our highs to be about 85 or 90 is, those are our like extremely hot days for us. And so that's very nice.
And which season do the horses prefer?
They actually love the temperature drops. Everyone's worried about them being cold, but they grow their own coats. And the minute it gets cold, they get fresh and frisky. Any horse person will know that first cold fall morning, you've got kites on strings when you're walking them around.
So they like the cold weather. Absolutely. They really do. Well, this is wonderful. It's just a beautiful atmosphere. The equestrian center here at Balsam Mountain Preserve, the resort, it's not a resort, the property offers, it seems like a resort because it has so much, but it offers golf, it offers fitness center, tennis, spa, pickleball. I understand they're putting some pickleball courts in. And the equestrian center here. And I have to come back and take some riding lessons, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I tell everyone, it is such a great way to get out and to be able to see this mountain, even if you've never ridden before. It's just such a unique aspect to a community like this. So we're pretty lucky to be here.
Well, thanks for having us. Lila Kilby, the equestrian director here at Balsam Mountain Preserve. Keep enjoying what you do. It's just so wonderful to see somebody so passionate as you who's doing their dream job. I mean, that's very, very special.
Yeah, it really is. I definitely recognize how lucky I am to be here, but it's just such a great place. It makes the job not feel like a job. So
thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, and just a reminder, be sure to get your copy of my new book, Life on the Green, Lessons and Wisdom from Legends of Golf. It's so uplifting. 12 golf legends, 6 men, 6 women, sharing life wisdom. Lessons they've learned from their iconic golf careers that they use in their day-to-day life. Available now on Amazon. My thanks to Sean McLaughlin, to Travis Wilson, to Lila Kilby, and Mike Goodsell in production. As the great Anne Frank once said, no one has ever become poor from giving. Have a great weekend, everybody, and I look forward to visiting again next time on Sports Interview with Anne LaGore.